Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives. Welcome back to Empire Building, you all. You have Seychelle here, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, Wendy Papazan.
Hello,
today.
My love.
Hello.
And hello, my loves out there.
Thank you for joining us today. And I love it when you and I get to record together.
We don't get to do it very often
when it's just the two of us. So,
nice to get to catch up.
I know.
Fun stuff going on in your life.
Lots of exciting things going on in both of our lives. And we've known each other for close to 20 years now, which is just like so
remarkably
wild.
Yeah. Shout out to Ben Kenny, who introduced us.
Well, I'm really excited about this topic today, and I'm going to give a special shout out to our co-host, Kimber Minkiti, who brought this topic to the table and gave a framework around this, and then Wendy and I fleshed it out. We love a framework, and we're going to talk about something that every empire builder faces, and that is, if you haven't had it yet, you're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have hard choices and hard decisions. Whether it's a business pivot, whether it's a hiring choice, whether it's a personal crossroad, hard decisions can feel overwhelming. And honestly, it can feel lonely. And so we are here to tell you that hard decisions don't have to feel that way. And they don't have to paralyze you, because today we are going to give you 5 hacks that are going to help you decide and take action with confidence and clarity when you're at the crossroad of a hard decision. And I am so pumped for today, because these are things you and I have been through in the last couple of years, and it's amazing. These are like life-changing hacks for you. So
yes,
if you're listening,
darlings, you can do hard things. So let's jump in with hack number one, which is to get clear on your core values. Honestly, knowing your core values has been a total game changer for me. I don't know about you, Seychelle. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I do know about you, Seychelle. We're both yes people.
Yep.
We like to do it all. We have a very high capacity for doing a lot of things. So we get to say yes a lot.
And it's fun.
Yeah. I love to squeeze the most out of every day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think you want to surround yourself with people whose ambitions are there Tuesday mornings. And I can safely say that our amazing circle is that we do remarkable things on a daily basis, and yet we still need a framework for understanding when to say no. And so our first hack is really get clear on your core values. And when our values are clear, decisions get a lot easier. So for me, my values are connection, adventure, and making a difference.
And you changed one of those recently, right?
Yeah. So it used to be leadership, adventure, and making a difference. And I realized I don't really need to be the leader to have that same kind of enjoyment. It's really connection. And I think about all of the things that I've done my whole life, but it hasn't really been about leadership. It's really been about bringing people together. I was telling my kids this the other day. We were talking about weird things you did in college. And I got a pair of purple Converse high tops in college. And so I decided that I was going to create a purple shoe club at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, go Badgers. So I created these posters, because this was way before social media. This was in the early 90s. And so I made these posters, and it said, "Do you wear shoes? Are they purple? Come join the Purple Shoe Club." Put them up all over campus. And it was great. All these people with purple shoes joined together. And that's just a really good first example of me creating connection and just having fun with it. And of course, that club kind of fizzled out because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about after a few sessions.
You're like, so purple.
Yeah. So knowing your core values is super important. And if you don't know your core values, I'll just give a shout out to Jay's company, The One Thing. They've got a lot of free resources on their website. You can go to the, and then it's numberonething.com/free-resources. And if you want to do a core values exercise, you can just hop on that website, and they've got a lot of great resources on how to do this for you, for your team, for whoever. And then if you want to get really fancy, they actually have a core values deck. I don't know if you have one of those.
I have two of them, actually.
They're beautifully designed decks. They make a lovely gift for any graduate. I don't know when this episode is dropping, but you can go to the one thing and find that there too. And we'll put those in the show notes. Here's how you do it. Once you've got your core values, everything else is easier. So let me give you a great example. So I got invited to be on the board of a great organization here in Austin called Explore Austin. It helps young adults with their leadership skills by going out into nature. So for 6 years in a row, they're paired with a mentor and a circle of kids, and they go out and they do hard things in nature, whether it's paddleboarding, mountaineering, whatever. This says adventure. This is making a difference. This is connection. So like for me, this is a great board for me to be on. Mm-hmm. I also got invited to be on the board of Austin Pets Alive, which is another great organization. But for me, just doesn't align. That was a real easy no for me, so that somebody else who's got values that align with Austin Pets Alive can say no. So getting clear on your values is really important. Knowing what your partner's values are, what are the values of the people on your team? That's just a great way to be able to make a hard decision. It's just knowing who you are at your core.
Well, and it allows you then to filter, which is what you're modeling in that example, is it allows you then to filter. And if you're like Wendy or myself that both enjoy saying yes to a lot of things. And also, I think when somebody thinks about you for something, it's a compliment. And so I would always feel kind of obligated, like, oh man, they're thinking about me. It's a huge honor. If I say no, that's turning them down. Now I don't have a problem with that, but I did for a long time. And so this allows you to say yes and no with clarity to things that are aligning with where you want to go, which I think is awesome.
Yep. One hack on that. A lot of times I think people do the values exercise, and then they almost kind of forget what they are. So a hack that Jay has done is he's put his values on his screensaver on his phone. You look at your phone hundreds of times a day. So every time you pick it up, you get to see your values right there. Yeah, throughout the day. It's just a reminder of who you are at your core. And it's okay to say no to the things that don't align with who you are at your core.
I love that. The second one, this is hack number two, which is embrace the 80% rule. And normally, as empire builders, we're telling you to focus on the 20%, which are the most important things in your schedule. We're actually going to do something different with this. This 80% rule is perfectionism is the enemy of decision making, because you can think and think and think and think and think to perfection and never make the decision. And so if you have 80% of the information you need to make a hard decision and it aligns with your goals, it aligns with your values, move forward. And here are some good questions you can ask around that to help you get there. The first one is, let's say you're making a tough decision on hiring someone, okay? And you've taken them through the hiring process. We've got several hiring series, empire building podcast episodes about that. There's also an amazing class through Keller Williams called Career Visioning that Wendy teaches a lot. That's a great one. But let's say you're making a hiring decision and all of it is saying yes, but you don't know if they can 100% do the job, but they have all the qualifications to be able to learn the job, but they have never done it with you. If you had to make a decision today based on the information you have and what you know about this person, what would you decide? It's a good framework you can use as a question to be able to ask. If all the information I have today is what I have and I have to make the decision right now, what would I decide? And I also want to give you some grace and permission to make the best decision you can with the information that you have, because you're going to make some mistakes. And guess what? It's okay. You're allowed to make mistakes. And you can correct them.
You know, what's super interesting to me is that all the research points to this idea of this perfectionism trait is pretty aligned all along gender roles. So women have a tendency to have a lot more perfectionist tendencies than men. Yeah. And a lot of it's around little girls get praise for, oh, that's perfect. You're doing it perfectly.
Think about what we train in. Dance, gymnastics, right? You get a perfect 10 for technique and score, right? In dance, you have to be perfectly in sync. And then you look at a lot of the sports, the boys, like football, right?
Tackling.
It's just, did you score or not? You're tackling, you're throwing crap around, you're beating the heck out of each other. It's not perfect the whole way down the field. You're failing and hitting each other. There's no perfection in
even that. Baseball, if you're getting 4 out of 10, you're doing really awesome. And I think for women, we have so many ways we have to be perfect. So we have to look perfect.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that I've become really conscious of as my kids have gotten older is this idea of talking to little girls about what they look like. Uh-huh. Oh, I love your dress, or your hair is so cute, or I love your shoes, or we don't say that to little boys. So women grow up with this idea of they have to look perfectly because that's how they get praise. And then we have to be perfect mothers. We have to be perfect parents. We have to be perfect at work. And men, they don't feel the work more so in terms of perfect parenting and looking perfect every day. They're not feeling that. So you've got this three-headed monster where women have an overwhelming pressure to be great at everything all the time. And it's just not possible.
It's not possible. And we want to give you some permission and grace to understand that as you are growing, it is going to be messy. It is not going to be perfect. It's going to feel like you're on a slip and slide all over the place and you're just hanging on. So we want to give you permission that if something gets done today, instead of waiting 1, 2, 3, 6 months for it to be perfect, just get it done today. It is okay. And you know what? You can correct it later and we're going to give you some tips and hacks for that. But it is okay to take the 80% of the information you have today, make the best decision you can with that, and move forward with confidence, knowing that that's a great decision.
I love that. And the whole idea of moving forward and taking action is you're just going to get better and better at making decisions.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, that's what our life is about. That's how you grow in your world, is you just get better and better at making decisions, and you're not going to be perfect at the beginning. All right. So hack number three is to consult your inner circle, but also limit the noise. So too many opinions will really slow down your decision making. Mm-hmm. So identify who your trusted advisors, mentors, or role models are in different areas of your life. So do you know the difference between a mentor and a role model?
To me, a role model is somebody that I don't necessarily know all that well, but I admire them from a distance, or I love what they've done. A mentor is somebody I have a personal connection with that I also admire, but might be able to one-on-one have a conversation with me. Is that fair?
Yeah, I love that. That's exactly how I would interpret that. I would encourage everyone just to take a minute when you're not driving to write down your mentors or role models in what I would call your six main areas of life. So who is your financial mentor or role model? It could be, you always talk about that guy who bought you beers, who was an early role model for you. It could be Warren Buffett is a mentor to you. You can have a couple there, or it could just be one, but just know who that is. And that gives you a compass in order to drive your financial life. Who is your second? Who's your business role model? Who do you want to follow? We talk about role models all the time here at Empire Building because we want to get you where you're going faster. And the fastest way to get somewhere is to have a framework and a model to follow. Yep. So who is your role model for business? And then have a role model for your career, right? Maybe not everybody runs their own business, or maybe you have a job inside your business, which is probably true for most of us, unless you've got a really big business. So as far as your career goes, who's your role model? Who's your mentor? Mm-hmm. And then you've got your personal life. So one of the things I've always admired about Gary Keller at Keller Williams is he's truly modeled having a good relationship with his family. He always took time to be with his wife. He took time to be with his son. And now I know he spends a lot of time with his grandkids. And for me, that's been a role model. You know, someone who's willing to put work away and spend time with their family. And then who's your health role model, right? Mental and physical health. And then who's your spiritual role model? So just take a second when you have a minute and write down who are your mentors or role models in all six of those areas, and then study what they do. And then when you need to make a decision, use what they've done in order to make a decision. It just helps you move forward. Or if they're actually a mentor of yours, go grab coffee, pick up the phone, send them a text message. Hey, if you were in my situation, what would you do?
Also, too, I want to encourage you, some role models actually can become mentors. And so let's say you have a role model out there and you really would love to meet them. Like, sometimes there's opportunities you can get yourself in the room. Don't be afraid to start looking at opportunities to all of a sudden turn that role model into a mentor as well. And I think about when I moved to New York, calling the CEOs of Madison Avenue for the ad agencies, they all were role models for me as CEOs of large organizations. But by getting in the room with them, like Keith Reinhard, who I worked with up there, has become a mentor for me in a lot of areas. And so don't be afraid to turn those role models into mentors. It does take time and focus and intention to do that, but sometimes it actually works. So just don't be afraid of that too.
Love that.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle. Number 4, this is a really fun one, which is use the future you test when you have to make hard decisions. I'm going to give you a question to ask yourself, okay? When you're at the precipice of a hard decision, I want you to ask yourself, what would the 5 years from now version of me choose?
Okay. So good.
So if Seychelle is 5 years out, what would Seychelle 5 years from now say to this decision? Because when you're in the middle of it today, it feels like a really big, hard decision. But I guarantee you 5 years from now, this is going to feel like a very small decision. And so I want you to pull yourself to the future you and say, what would 5 years from now, what would I decide? What would I do? Sometimes it's going to give you clarity around a yes or a no. Sometimes it's going to give you clarity to move faster. Sometimes it's going to give you clarity to think bigger. And so the decisions we make today are going to impact the person that we are 5 years from now. This helps us shift from a reactive, fear-based choice to a future-focused leadership choice. And so I want to share with you, like, when I think about a lot of our empire builders, as you're leveling up from one role to the next, or you're leveling up from one position that you're in right now, maybe you are the operator in your business right now, and you're working to hire people to level up to your next role. It is much easier to stay doing the job you're doing right now that you know forwards and backwards and you can do all the time. The problem is the 5 years from you person is still going to be doing that job if you don't make other decisions. You've got to start thinking and making decisions about hiring and creating leverage in your life so that the future you can have more space, right? So the future you can have more time. I want to give you an example of this. When I was in the listing agent role on our team and working to move more to the CEO level, I was very comfortable in that space, a very good converter, very good with clients. I could do this job in my sleep. And actually, I love working with sellers. They're great. I think they're fun and interesting and challenging. The challenge is I wanted to do other things. I wanted to work with my besties to create Her Best Life. We wanted to do a podcast. I wanted to be on boards of nonprofits. I wanted to spend more time with my young daughter at home. If I stayed in that job full-time all the time and didn't create leverage in my world, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do that I am doing 5 years now today if I hadn't said yes to hiring those people and training them and doing the hard work in those positions. And so I just want to encourage you to think about, what are the things you want to be doing 5 years from now? Who do you want to be 5 years from now? Because that's going to give you the permission and the freedom and the bravery to make some of those decisions faster today to get you there. And I also want to encourage you, in that 5 years from you now, it's going to want more white space in their life. They're going to want more space in their calendar to do all sorts of other things and say yes to all sorts of other things. And if you don't make the decisions to get you there and create opportunity for other people, you're going to be doing the same thing you've always done, getting the same thing you've always gotten with the same time. So we have to trade it up and level it up there.
Whoa, that's gold. Words of wisdom. Drop the mic. We don't even need to talk about hack five. So good, Seychelle. I love when you get a little bit into proselytizing mode. It's so good.
You and I couldn't be doing this today, right?
I know.
Empire
it's such
building.
A gift. You know, the reason so many people in our industry in real estate burn out is because they never do this. They're never able to think about what they want in the future and put the things into place. And they just wake up one day and they're like, I'm done.
Yeah. You, as empire builders listening, you're too freaking good to let yourself do that.
Yeah.
You're too awesome. You're too powerful. You're too interesting and dynamic to play small.
I feel so blessed. I get to wake up every day and 90% of what I do every day, I love to do.
But it was on purpose. And you made decisions, one hard decision at a time to get there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's definitely not been easy.
Yeah.
And there are lots of hard things. Yeah. I've had a hard week. Actually, on Tuesday, I was like, I feel like it's Friday.
The whole month of January. I was like, is this a 12-month January?
That's how my week's been. But today's been great. All right. So hack number five is decide, act, and evaluate. It's a little framework. Decide, act, and evaluate. So imagine you're on a lifeboat and you're in the middle of the ocean. You've only got a little bit of food, a little bit of water. Would it be better to spend days and days thinking about your best course of action, just sitting there in the lifeboat, gazing into the distance, never seeing the shore? Or would it be better to figure out where the wind's blowing, look at the stars, and then start rowing? I think a lot of us are in that situation where we can't see the shore. We're worried about making a bad decision. And instead of moving forward, we just sit there. You're never going to get what you want. So the fastest way to get what you want, the fastest way to clarity is to make a decision, okay? All of our decisions are not going to be right. They're not going to be perfect. Sometimes you will make a bad decision. However, you can always course correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's pretend we're back in that rowboat. Okay. We're rowing. All of a sudden we see an island. We're going to start rowing there. Or maybe we decide we've made a bad decision or there's a boat in the distance or something. You can always course correct wherever you're going. I remember Gary Keller once said, it's easier to take an action-oriented person and help them learn how to think than to take a thinker and help them try to get into action. So
that's powerful.
Yeah. Knowing which one you are is really valuable. I have a young teammate on my team and she's a thinker. She wants to do everything right. And so I just sat her down. I had a hard conversation. I said, you just need to get into action.
Just go, baby.
That's hard for a thinker, but it's been quite remarkable to see her results when she's moved forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably far more effective because she has spent all that time thinking about it. So she's probably...
True.
Once she moves into action, she's probably like, whoo, little sniper.
The most successful realtor on my team is very action-oriented. And all the conversations I have with him are on thinking more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, but he is by far the most successful person because... You know, and I think you and I are this way too. We'll just jump in, get our feet muddy, build the airplane on the way up, that kind of thing. But then I think it's important. A lot of people miss this step. A lot of people who are action takers, once your decision is made and you've taken action, then you need to evaluate the results.
That's right.
Okay. So there's lots of people out there who continue to take maybe the same action over and over and over again. And I think it was Einstein that said that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So the key is to evaluate and then course correct. And it's like Seychelle was talking about before. Do you have your thinking time? Because your thinking time is how you're going to course correct. Are you evaluating your results on a regular basis? That could be weekly, could be monthly, could be quarterly. I just did my first retreat last fall, and they talked about doing a quarterly reset, and I had never done that before. And so I did my first quarterly reset, and I got really clear about what I wanted to accomplish in the next 3 months. And actually, this is really cool. This is like a tip for you guys. It's not really a decision-making tip, but it's like a quarterly reset tip, which is I looked at the next 3 months ahead of me. First of all, I looked at what I had accomplished the first quarter. And then I was looking ahead.
That's a huge piece. You take time to celebrate what you've done, because a lot of us are action people and we actually never look back.
So reflect on everything I did, how I spent my time. And then I decided the big three things I was going to get done each month. Well, actually, I wrote everything then down that I thought was important on these little note cards. So it's very visual. It was in front of me. And then I ended up taking the top three things for April, May, and June. And then I put them in a little stack. Here, I'll show you.
I want to see.
I got a little note card with April on it. And then I put my three main things I wanted to accomplish. We've got our database that we're working on. We've got our Her Best Life director, which we're trying to hire for. And then I've got this Texas Living Title company that I'm working on. And then what I did was I put each of these cards out in a place where I can walk by them every day. So every single day this month, I've just walked by. I can't help but look at them. It's just three words. It's big. And it's been super helpful to help me focus.
I love that. Something that I've been doing this year, I didn't realize this was going to be my word of the year, but it's actually turned into it, which is intention, being really intentional with my time. And something I've been doing every Saturday or Sunday is take about an hour, hour and a half, and I look at my schedule for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 weeks out. And what I'm actually doing, like right now, is a month and a half out, I'm rearranging my weekly schedule to organize back in white spaces of thinking time, because it's so easy to say yes to something 8 weeks out because it feels like it's forever away. And then you get there and you're like, why is this week terrible? Like, why is it so crazy? And it's just because I wasn't intentional with how it was structured. And so I'm really getting disciplined with looking way out to be able to take a look at that schedule and say, okay, I can still do all of these things, but I'm going to rework it to where I'm protecting some white space time or some bigger thinking time to work on some of these bigger pieces.
I love that.
It's really helped me move quicker with velocity.
So smart. And we did get off on a little bit of a tangent there, but I think it's totally relevant because our hack number five was decide, act, and evaluate. And so what you're talking about is evaluating the decisions that you've made with your calendar. Such a great hack, right? Decide, act, and then course correct if necessary.
Yeah. Evaluate is such a huge piece of that. So I love that.
Well, just to recap our five hacks today, again, Kimber, thank you so much for this great episode. It's been gold. If you are in the middle of doing hard things, or if you're faced with a hard decision, instead of backing away from that hard decision, which is what some of us do when faced with it, I would encourage you guys to meet it head on and just use these five hacks that will help you make a better decision. So first of all, get clear on your core values, right? Put them on your phone so that you remember what they are and use them on a daily basis as a tool to say yes to the things that matter and no to the things that don't. Embrace the 80% rule, okay? Especially as women, we have a perfectionist complex. If you are a self-identified perfectionist, this is going to be very challenging for you, and understand, like Seychelle said, if somebody can do it 80%, it's good enough. And then consult your inner circle. Who are your mentors? Who are your role models? Who are your friends that you can reach out to? Who's that circle that can give you advice in times of need? And then use that future you test. Think about, what would the 5-year now version of me choose to do? That's intention. And then use that little framework of decide, act, take action, and then evaluate and course correct. And then you can just keep doing that. You know, that's a loop. Okay. So evaluate and then decide again, then take action again, and then evaluate again.
I love that. And our leadership really isn't defined by avoiding those tough calls. It's shaped by how you make and learn from those tough calls. When you get clear on your values, you avoid those perfection traps, you consult wisely and think like the future you, and then act boldly. That's how you build your empire, which is awesome. So if this episode has resonated with you, or you're listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, this friend really needs to hear this, please, please, please share it with them. Our goal is to help as many people as possible. And if it's helped you today, please leave us a 5-star review, because that's how we help more people out there. So thanks for joining us. Go out there and make it a great week. Bye, guys.
Have a big business and a bigger life. Bye, y'all.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.